April 7, 1941, Waterloo Plain, Amsterdam. Every eye watched as the crimson sun slipped into the western horizon, veiled in a cloak of winter. Not a soul in the small burg could know how long or how dark this night would be. In only 5 days, Dutch forces had capitulated to the Germans, and already there were indications of Nazi intent to isolate Dutch Jews. Encircled within their fireside's golden embrace, their tiny home was but a fragile bastion against the spiteful winds and changing tide which rumbled across the low-lying Netherland coast. Kayla Steinberg paused from her baking to wipe the flour from her hands. Her dark eyes filled with love and mounting concern as she watched her young husband pause from his writings to muse into dreary skies laden with falling snow. His expression darkened as he listened to urgent voices murmuring from his radio. She wiped her hands with a cloth and approached his desk. "Turn it off, Eli," she pled with him, extending a loving hand to smooth the furrows of his handsome brow. "It will do you no good. Just more worry. We should be worried. Hiding our heads in the sand will only bring worse consequences. You know I cannot sign their Aryan attestation," he said with disgust. "The day I refuse," he glanced at the manuscript on his desk, "I will be dismissed." "You don't know that," she said, attempting to calm his deepening fears. "It happened to Professor Mayers at Leiden. It could happen to me, any of us. There were protests. The students boycotted. The people resist, my love," she reminded him. "Look at the speech Professor Cleverinka gave, Eli," she said, lowering her voice. "It was so powerful. The citizens of this city, the Jews and the Dutch, will not stand for these abuses."
Unconvinced, he shook his head and looked away. Hearing the hushed voices of his parents, a small boy rose from his bed to peek through the door, a pool of dancing amber spilling into his room.
"I am a history professor, Kayla. I, of all people, know that history repeats itself. Only a slob von der Lahr would deny what's happening in Germany. We must find our way to Switzerland. There isn't much time. This is the Netherlands, Eli, not Germany. Our families have lived here for generations. What have we to fear? This is a neutral country. Look at our past with our German neighbor. Why do you fret so? It will be different here. Besides, what will we do for money? I have money," announced the boy from across the room.
His expression and rigid body posture revealed he had been listening intently to their conversation. He turned and disappeared up a narrow staircase. In seconds, he returned breathless, clutching a leather stocking and placed it on the desk before his father. Eyes gleaming with pride, he buried his small fist into it, withdrawing a surprising sum of Dutch coin and guilder bills.
"I have too many dubbeltje, but see, I have Knox. Look, I even have a hieltje. No, two hieltje."
His father leaned back in his chair and laughed proudly as his mother reacted in shock.
"Where did you get all this money? You didn't steal it, did you?"
she said, gripping his small chin in her palm. He twisted stubbornly from her grasp to meet the listening eyes of his father.
"I don't steal. I never steal. I earned this money. With this."
He stuck a forefinger repeatedly to his temple.
"And then I saved. I always save." "What do you mean you earned it? What did you do?"
she insisted. The father relaxed, extending his arms to the boy, who crawled up on his lap.
"Skakspel, Kayla. Chess,"
he said.
"I wagered on the game board owned by the Epstein brothers." "The diamond trader's sons? Why, they're big boys,"
Kayla gasped, looking to her husband for support. Again, he only laughed.
"It's been in their family for a long, long time. When I won it, they kept playing me for it, and losing, always losing. They're losers, Papa. They may be rich, but they have little intelligence. When they want to buy it back,"
he winked,
"I will sell it to them, but at my price."
The father gathered his son into his arms.
"Okay, okay. That's very shrewd, son. But it's best not to make enemies if you don't have to. And as you grow older, stay out of debt. Debt is the cruelest master of all. And then, you."
He gently grasped the side of his son's face in a moment of adoring silence. His son's earnest eyes were his father's.
"You will always have money,
like you do tonight. He slipped a cigar into his mouth and began searching for his lighter. The boy nimbly plucked his father's silver lighter from the correct drawer and snapped it, lighting his father's favorite cigar. Now, be a good boy and put your money away. Thank you for your generous offer, but we... Eli stopped,